Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Let's go around the NFL in the Loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh boy, y'all are going hard in the text line right now. 713-572-4610 on these sports pet peeves. 832 hates getting the hole guy on every swing of a broadcast in golf. Someone else mentioned the guy who knows nothing about football but shouts out at a watch party. Why don't they just run the touchdown play? Another one pursuant to that, you mentioned one just a second
holding.
Ago.
Holding. That's holding, guys.
Yeah. Yes. Every
holding
play.
Guy.
Every play you can probably call holding, likelihood. There's also someone that was mad at us for, they said, leave baseball alone, get rid of the clock, go back. And I'm like, no, they needed the clock. They needed to get back.
God, no.
All those games back in the day that you were romanticizing, they moved more at the pace that we are currently moving at with the clock than what we were starting to blow
out. That's the first time I've seen somebody really complain about the clock.
Yeah. Everybody loves it.
I thought it was fun.
Shout out to the baseball purist.
It's working. It's working.
Now, I mean, there's some unintended consequences, don't get me wrong, right? Like, pitchers are getting some strain from it and not being able to, like, take a second to get a breathe or recalibrate themselves. I understand that, but hey, I think overall been good for the game in my
I think in a lot of people's
opinion. Anyways, let's go around the NFL. That's what we're supposed to be here for. And Bill Belichick is going to be very important in our sport, in our football watching perspective this season in particular, as he's no longer the head coach of the Patriots as we've been so accustomed to for the last couple decades, really. Yeah. And so he's going to be on the Manning cast in addition to other things. I mean, all over the place. But news of the day, I guess, is that Bill Belichick, who notoriously in the past has used this kind of language when it comes to social media.
Antonio Brown had a Facebook Live video, and along the way caught up some comments from Mike Tomlin where he refers to your team affectionately as, say, for radio purposes, jerks.
Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those. But I'm really just worried about getting our team ready to go. Not really too worried about what they put on Instant Chat or whatever it is.
Snapface and Instant Chat.
Well, I imagine that he's probably learned how to say them correctly. Because
he hasn't. No, he hasn't.
Okay.
No, he hasn't.
Well, he officially is on Instagram. I imagine that some of this, I do wonder, is he going to run this account, or is this going to be run by whoever it is? Is he officially signed up with Disney when it comes to ESPN? Or
it's got
to
be, right?
I think so. So, yeah, is it somebody on the ESPN that actually runs the account or whatever? Because apparently he's on Instagram.
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here? Well, I am, too. Over the past few months and not being with a team, I haven't had the opportunity to express my thoughts at a moment's notice. So now I'm changing that. I tried to join Snapface, but I couldn't find it. I decided this was a good place for me to land so I could talk to you and share what I'm up to, because there's a lot going on. So here I am. Hello, InstaFace. See you soon.
Okay, so first of all,
was that a hostage video?
It sounded like one. He's blinking his eyes. Help me. Right. Help me.
Okay.
But first of all, kudos to Belichick for leaning into it. I love when people do that.
Sure.
Own it, lean into it, whatever term you want to use. I love that. But the second thing was, he goes, well, I haven't had time to really react in real time, basically, is what he's saying. When has he ever wanted to do that? When has he ever done that? Like, wanted to react and express himself, I think is how he said it. But okay, but good for him. I'm glad he's leaning into it and actually said, snap. What did he say? Snap face?
InstaFace.
InstaFace. Something like that.
What he went with.
Something like that. I think Bill Belichick, knowing what he is gonna have a very big say in everything that's posted. So to answer your question, I think he's going to do this, but probably with some help. You know, like maybe tell somebody or text somebody or maybe even post himself.
Dictate it like a business manager in the like 50s.
Yeah,
exactly. To his secretary.
Yeah, exactly.
Please post this on my InstaFace.
Dictaphone, as they used to say, or whatever. No, look, man, he's a control guy. He's a control guy. He's gonna say he's gonna want to have control of his
Instagram.
I don't
even know. Like on Instagram, I think it's just we're gonna get videos. He's just gonna be like, set up the camera.
Okay.
Let me talk into it and then post it.
Like, yeah, I could see that.
I don't think there's gonna be any captions.
Mm-hmm.
No words involved. Just video.
Will he or will he not ever use an emoji? Him.
He will.
Him himself.
Will he use the emoji correctly?
Yeah,
that's the question. So yeah, there we go. Shout out to I think I'm gonna follow him.
Oh, for sure, I already did,
because I can't wait for when you get him talking about football. Mm-hmm. A delight,
the a depth
delight. And so I do imagine that he's just gonna look into the camera and break down plays.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be great. And if he doesn't, then I'll unfollow him.
Yeah.
A man that is, I don't know, like when we talk about follow, unfollow, the ups and downs that social media can provide, that's what it feels like Ja'Marr Chase has been in with the Bengals. In a very will he, will won't he, when it comes to getting the ascension, but more importantly, just kind of playing. And so yesterday, Ja'Marr Chase participated in the first official practice of game week for them ahead of their season opener. So he was listed as a limited participant, but maybe that'll open him up to this. Joe Burrow was asked about it. He said, we'll see if that ends up happening, but whatever happens, we'll be prepared for it when it comes to, like, you know, being flexible and seeing if Chase decides to play or not play in the opener. So there's still, it's not answered, right? Mm-hmm. We're not answered on if he is back for sure and if a deal will get done or if a deal won't get done. But he's at least like popping in enough to be like, I'm still practicing a little bit. So if I wanted to, I could, but
yeah.
He might still decide, no, I'm good.
I think he feels as if it's going to get done, but it's not done yet. So that's why he's practicing. Burrow also was asked, you know, how long would it take for him to be ready? And he said, he's ready now. So I actually do buy that. We'll see, but I think he feels good enough about it that he's going to, you know, going to practice. He is practicing.
All right. So as we're talking about the NFL, this story I read a little bit about it. And now we're getting more steps into it, but I was kind of fascinated to see this and hear about this. It's, I don't know if it's a wild one, but it's very interesting to me. Apparently, the Commanders have fired one of their vice presidents for comments on players, Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell. So the vice president is Rael Antin, who is the vice president of content,
mm-hmm.
which makes this a little bit more interesting.
Yes,
as well,
it does.
For the team for the previous 4 years, right? Apparently he had gone on a date, I guess that he had matched up with someone who was being termed as a journalist. And let's put a pin in that, because I do want to circle back to your opinion as a journalist on, you know, this particular type of journalism. But he matched with a supposed journalist on a dating site, and apparently she was recording this interaction.
Yeah.
And during the course of the interaction, there was recordings of him using language that then, you know, he talked about calling fans of the NFL mouth breathers.
Yeah.
He said, quote, I don't think the commissioner of the NFL hates gay people, hates black people. Jerry Jones, who actually runs the NFL, I think he hates gay people and black people, close quote. He talked about that.
And just other things that I found to be very interesting. Also, he went as far as saying most of the fans are high school educated alcoholics, talking about fans in the NFL. So, like, those types of things coming from an executive in the NFL, I don't know if I'm, like, super surprised that someone in those perspectives might look down upon their fan bases, but just the idea that you'd be more comfortable saying that to people that you were not, like, close to, and I understand that's, like, a very low bar. The idea that you should probably not say these things in general would be more apt, but he said some of these things to a supposed journalist that... then put them online, and obviously now has ultimately resulted in this vice president being...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get fired.
Yeah, look, first of all, you know, what he said is going to get you fired.
Sure.
You know, 100%. And I'm going to get to the journalist part.
You mess with the money here.
Yeah, yeah, oh, for sure. And by the way, it's the Commanders. I mean, of all organizations, you know, for something like this to happen, their PR has not exactly been stellar.
In recent
years. So no matter if it's secretly recorded, if it's a date, if it's not a date, if you knew about it, you didn't know about, no matter what, when that gets out, you get fired. That is ridiculous to think those things. And if you do, you know, to say them out loud in any context gets you fired. Now, you mentioned you were going to ask me about the journalist.
Yes, because the journalist apparently, and I need to double back on the information here because now I'm looking at a different piece than I was reading yesterday that gave me more information on this. But the woman works with, she's what they're calling like a citizen journalist that is working in tandem with a group of journalists that with a corporate, or maybe not a corporation, but a group that had previously kind of operated like Project Veritas, if you're familiar with that, the O'Keefe Media Group.
Yeah.
And so, like, that is one of these things where the idea of citizen journalists were like, hey, just go record things in a clandestine way and we'll bring that audio, that video or that audio back and then put that out. Where do you stand on that, on, like, journalistic integrity of that?
There's none. That is zero. If you really want to get me fired up about something, it's something like this. First of all, you're breaking every rule. That's not a journalist. You're breaking every single rule. Now, I know some people out there are saying, hey, in some states, like Texas, for example, only one party needs to know that the conversation is being recorded.
Sure.
I get that. But you have to tell the person in advance, whether you're recording it or not, that you are representing this outlet.
And that it'll be on the record is generally the way that, you know, these things work when it comes to the journalistic standard.
That is hot garbage. Like that. That is what makes people cringe about where we are today in quote unquote journalism. That ain't it. That's ridiculous. It's a poor man's throwdown, awful version of TMZ. TMZ has integrity, and now you might not like everything that TMZ does, but they tell you in advance, hey, I'm so and so. They might pounce on you coming out of a restaurant.
TMZ has some integrity, but I don't want to go ahead and give them...
No, in terms of journalistic, like they actually, they abide, let me put it that way, they abide by the rules. They tell you in advance, hey, I'm so and so for TMZ, or blah, 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 blah.
In some ways, I think they still do some things that I would...
I get it.
Like CD, like obviously like having different first responders on the payroll in order to get like videos and those
types of
things.
And they pay people, which I don't agree with. You know, for stories. I don't agree with paying people for stories. But at least they follow the quote-unquote rules. This is garbage. This is absolute garbage. And I think he may even have, you know, some sort of case against them. At minimum, that's a gotcha, you know, thing by a citizen journalist that's not a journalist.
Yeah, so Ryan Valentine, Washington Commander's vice president, out of a job because of quite of an interesting kind of circumstance that popped up. Matching on a dating app, going on a date, being a little too honest on how you feel, ultimately got him out of there. Called Roger Goodell a $50 million puppet. Like, even if you didn't get fired, you did not make a friend in that way. I'll tell you that for damn sure. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. This is something I found interesting. A note that I saw when it comes to like the biggest Super Bowl odd moves year over year, right? So going from being a long shot to maybe being closer to some level of favorite. When it comes to Super Bowl odds year over year. Only two other teams have had a bigger jump than the Houston Texans this year, going from a 200-1 to this year going in at a 16-1 odds favorite. Those other two teams, the 1980 Washington football team and then 1991 Dallas Cowboys, had bigger jumps. But other than that, how do you feel about the Houston Texans getting that big of a jump when it comes to Vegas odds on Super Bowl odds?
I mean, that's that. First of all, how do I feel about it? Good, but I think what's going on here is Vegas knows.
Yeah,
like Vegas always knows. Shout out again to T Mill. That tells me that they know that what the Texans are hyped up to be is not just hype. So that's where I stand on that. I also want to know about that 1980 Washington team. Dang, 300-1 to 8-1?
Yeah.
What happened there? I don't remember. I don't remember what happened there.
Well, I mean, I was not alive, so I don't think I can give you that off of memory. But we can do some digging on that in the break. But there you go. Around the NFL, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday. NFL Thursday. We got NFL football coming up. And you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610 this evening. Chiefs Ravens. That was the word I was looking for. But yeah, with football coming back, we're getting into the flow of things here in the loop. And one of the things that we like doing is talking to our guy, ND Kalu. So we'll talk to ND coming up next about week one for the Texans and a lot more. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Earlier, our question of the day was, what are your sports pet peeves? And I should have known that was not going to take 10 to 15 minutes. Y'all still sending those in. Someone earlier was talking about the idea of a sports pet peeve being when a guy celebrating football by dropping the football before they cross the end zone.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ooh. The other one is diving for the power line and fumbling.
Fumbling?
Yeah. That's the one. You can't do that, man.
Well, for me, it's the even just the rule of fumbling out of the back of the end zone as a touchback, because that doesn't really make sense to me.
I've never liked that.
I never liked that, but still, like, for that rule, you gotta just don't do that.
Sure. Yes. I mean, that's the rule on the books. You gotta understand what that is.
Don't be too thirsty for that touchdown.
Someone
man.
Else said their sports pet peeve is when a TV station gets into a contract dispute with the carrier.
I wonder where that came from.
Can't watch the damn games. I'm with you.
What about cutting in to a game when the weather...
Local TV. God, that's a good one too.
We gotta keep the people informed.
Oh, come on.
Another way to keep the people informed.
Not when the Bills about to kick a field goal.
Another way to keep the people informed is talk to our guest. Join us on the line, on the hotline. He's N.D. Kalu, former Texan, and a big friend. Most importantly, Nigerian brethren. What's happening, my guy?
What's going on? First of all, Figgy Fig, how can you have someone extra effort trying to score a touchdown as a sports pet peeve? Like, I see everything else y'all talked about, dropping the ball before the end zone. That's just stupid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, somebody should take you behind the woodshed and look at that. But fumbling for trying to score, Figgy Fig, that's the first time I disagree with you.
But see, that rule is so stupid, man. It's like, don't even try to do it, man. Like I get it, man. Just get to the 1 yard line and then try to rush it in.
And fight. Did anybody mention, Reggie, did anybody mention interviewing, like, players or athletes in-game?
But I'm interested to get a better understanding of why you dislike that.
As a fan, I hate it because, and you know what, as a former player turns fan, when you're playing, when you're in that mindset, like, you're a different person. And I'm not overstating it, but you kind of go into a different character, and then you have some yahoo sticking a mic in your face. And before they ask you questions, they're like, hey, remember not to curse, or remember this is on live TV. And it's kind of like, well, then get that thing out of my face.
Because
like,
I'm going
if
to.
You're going, exactly. If you're going to ask me questions, like when I'm in game mode, when I'm in, you know, killer mode, and then tell me that I have to speak a certain way, it just shouldn't be done. And then it really bothered me during the Olympics, right after you run the 400-meter dash, the hardest race in the history, in my opinion, like the 400, because it's a sprint. And as soon as they're done, they stick a mic in their face, and you can't make out what they're saying.
So it's just all breathing?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounds like a soft porn. But it's not an actual, not like you're talking to an athlete. So that's one of mine. I love those topics. I could go on.
Oh, yeah. My big one was whenever it's my birthday or something, I get 3 or 4 texts from friends. And whenever the Aggies lose, I get about 75. Hey, man, what happened to the Aggies? I thought they were going to be good. Hey, man, I thought you were my friend. Hey, look, listen, Andy. Obviously, it's getting real now, and it'll be real on Sunday. Going to kind of put you on the spot here right out of the chute. No, because I think this is a good one for the season, much less for Sunday against the Colts. What's going to be the big X factor for this team? Like, what you've seen it, you've watched them in camp, you've watched the preseason games, you've called the games. What is standing out to you in terms of that might be something that, you know, nobody's really talking about that might be big for this squad this year?
You know, I got two answers. I'm going to give you the easy answer first, but it's really weighing on me because when I look at the coaching staff, top notch, when I look at the roster, I mean, this is a top 5 roster, but on paper, you know, everything's on paper. So my initial answer is health, because when I look at the offensive line, I think the offensive line, when you look at Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, who I think is underrated, Titus Howard, who's good, you know, I'm not going to overstate it. If Kenyon Green can live up to, you know, being a first round guard in the NFL, Juice Scruggs, with what he's done, it's a good offensive line, but we've never seen them play together for an entire season. So that's why I'm going to go with health, John. Like, if this team could just stay healthy with the weapons that you have and Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Joe Mixon, Dalton Schultz. I mean, it just goes on and on. Then on the defensive side of the ball, Will Anderson and freaking Danielle Hunter, who I do believe is the most underrated defensive player in the game right now. And you have Aziz. You know, I can't point to a position group and say, okay, this is my biggest concern. So it's going to be the health to make sure these guys do play together. But if I give you another answer that's not so easy, it would probably be the run defense, because that's the one thing that I wonder if they can stop the run consistently. And look, this is the NFL. Jonathan Taylor, you know, is going to get a 10, 15-yard gain before the game's over, but you want to limit those explosive plays. You don't want, at the end of the day, for Anthony Richardson to have 80 yards rushing and Jonathan Taylor to tack on another 20. So that's going to be the concern for me.
I'm glad you brought it to week one against Indy, because we're at noon, we're going to talk about the matchups that we're most interested in this game. For you, is it that kind of, you know, run defense versus the likes of Taylor and Anthony Richardson, or is there another one that comes to mind to you as like what you're most honed in on matchup wise in this game?
You know, that's it. Aziz Alshire going against, and it's not really Aziz going against Jonathan Taylor, but if the front four do what they're supposed to do and they play with gap integrity, and then Aziz, you know, obviously he's going to have to shadow and know where Jonathan Taylor is at all time. You have to stop him. And with Henry Toa, because he's a guy that there were times during his rookie year, you're like, good God, this was a great steal in the fifth round. And there were other times where you're like, he was a fifth round rookie. And he looked like it. So for him to be starting unofficially, you know, I'm throwing the quotes in the air, I want to see what he does against the run. I feel pretty optimistic with the defensive backs and what they're going to do with the wide receivers. I mean, Derek Stingley, he should be all pro this year. And everything that I'm hearing about Kamari Lassiter, everything that we saw at practice, but like Allen Iverson said, we're talking about practice. I didn't see him in the game, but he gives you confidence. So I feel pretty good about the defensive back. So yeah, the matchups against the linebackers, you know, Henry Toa, Aziz Alshire, who's the other one? Jake Hansen, is that who's supposed to start? Am I missing somebody? You're going against, you know, that run game, and not just a running back, but with that quarterback similar to the Baltimore Ravens, you have to factor that into the running game.
You know, you just touched on something I was wanting to talk to you about. You mentioned the secondary, you mentioned Lassiter, but I'm thinking more in terms of Shane Steichen, you know, terrific play caller, acknowledged, really good play caller at finding the weak spots or exploiting something. Dude, they've got two rookies expected to start. Kalen Bullock, I know, is not in the official depth chart, but I think most of us would expect him to play a lot, if not start. You got Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter and Shane Steichen, you know, a great play caller. That's the one to me, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are, where, you know, put a star on that going into the game, and we might have to do it coming out of the game, you know?
100%. I mean, when you look at this defense and when you try to exploit a weakness, you know, the NFL, especially offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, but in this sense, the offensive coordinators, they don't care how good a rookie has been at training camp. They don't care how good a rookie was in college. Like, just like you mentioned, those are two rookies. Let us see it. Let us see that you're that good. We have a guy over here by the name of Pittman who's pretty good in the NFL. Let us see if y'all can stop him. Let us see if we can get matchups to our advantage with those two youngsters. Because, yeah, if you have Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter back there at the same time, two rookies, expect to see Anthony Richardson try to beat them deep.
We're talking to ND Kalu right here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. And I just realized, like, I know I work with former pros, and I probably should have taken the time to ask them this, but I'm talking to another former pro on the phone right now. And I, when it comes to, obviously, getting ready for a week, Week one is different in some ways, and I don't know that we can get a great feel of it on the outside. Is there anything that, like, is a challenge that is kind of unseen by us, the onlookers, with just week one, the week one-iness of it?
You know what? There's a little anxiety and just the patience, you know, the waiting around. Like, and it's mainly for the guys we're actually going to see on the field when the game comes, because when you get into the season, you really only have, like, 3-4 days to truly prepare for your next opponent. But for week one, I mean, the guy, the Will Andersons of the world, the you know, the starters, I'm not going to name all the starters, they've been preparing for this. They've been thinking about it. They've been watching film on it since before the last preseason game. I don't know how many coaching staffs will admit it, but your starters and your role players who know they're going to make the team, they literally start breaking down film and watching film of the first regular season game before the last preseason game. So just the time that you've put in and that you spent studying, you get anxious and you're like, come on, let's hurry up and get this over with. Then once the season starts, it's like, oh man, we don't have enough time to kind of learn about the next opponent. So that's the one thing that I think the guys, frustrated isn't the right word, but they're just ready. You know, they're mentally, physically ready to hurry up and get this game started and over with.
Is that something that can affect kind of the detail? Because I went and rewatched both of the Colts games, and one of the things I noticed is I think it's going to be important for this team to have discipline and details on point. Not that that's not anything that's novel when it comes to being a football team, but is that anxiety, that readiness to get to the football, can that affect that?
Yeah, not so much just the anxiety, because these guys are still pros. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still pros. But I do believe sometimes you can over study. You know, one thing I used to say, because you don't know this, Reggie, but I'm the greatest domino player in the history of domino. So, you know, anytime my opponent gets all nervous and they're sweating because they know I'm about to hit them up for 15, I always tell them, you know, study long, study wrong. And I think that you can do that also with football. Like you have extra weekend, you're studying Quentin Nelson, you know, the all-pro guard, and you're like, okay, I think I have a beat on his set. But then you watch it for another 2 hours. You're like, maybe I don't have the beat that I thought I had. No, you did have that right lead. So I do believe, and it's a good thing. You don't want to tell guys, hey, don't study as much, but trust what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And when you watch it a little too long, you start doubting yourself and you doubt what you initially see, then that could kind of mess you up.
Hey, what do you expect from Bobby Slowick this year that might be different? We heard from C.J. Stroud yesterday. Reggie and I were talking off air about, you know, I keep saying dude's got some new toys and I think he's got some new ideas. So what are you expecting him to maybe put a twist on things this year?
Just a little more creativity, because you have so many new toys, as you said. You have so many talented guys, and, you know, again, hopefully they stay healthy all at the same time. But here's the thing. Ultimately, you make plays or you call plays to win the game, to put points on the board. But when you have the Nico Collins, the Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, Joe Mixon, like, you got to get creative to get them the ball, not just to keep them happy, because we're all grown men, it's their job, but to also really utilize the different weapons you have. As a defensive player, when you're studying and getting ready for, I remember when we played The Greatest Show on Turf with Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, was it Troy, or I forgot his name, Torrey Holden,
yeah.
That, you know, that Marshall Faulk, they have so many guys. It was like, okay, we can't just focus on this one guy. So you really had to respect and prepare for all of them. And then in the game, you also had to make your in-game adjustments if the offensive coordinator was truly utilizing everything that he has. So I would expect to see just more creativity with the talent that he has.
Key to winning this week one game in an Indy is?
Not letting Anthony Richardson show his ass. Like, this is one of those guys where, to me, he's feast or famine. Like, he's a guy where, you know, he has three fumbles because he reversed to being a running back. And, you know, you have the big boys hitting you now. You don't have that red jersey on. Or he can mess around and throw for 200 yards, run for another 120. And you don't want him to get confident early in the game. So I really think it's to shut down Anthony Richardson and take away his confidence early in the game.
Man, buddy, I've been looking forward to this conversation all week long. And, of course, you delivered. ND Kalu, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time, man.
My man, I will talk to y'all next week, and hopefully it'll be after a victory.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, absolutely. There he goes, ND Kalu, former Texan and number one in our
great dude. Just the best.
Absolutely. He's not with you, Fig, on the reach for the end zone. It's like, no, you need to reach for the end zone. Give that effort.
You only get that one shot to score a touchdown.
Unless it's like 1 second left in the game and you just going all in trying to get the touchdown.
Yeah.
How'd you feel in that moment? Because I think I saw it in your eyes that you were a little you didn't know what to say when ND was like, nah, I disagree.
Nah, I was cool with it. I was cool with it. I was a shot, man. I guess I got a coaching mindset, I guess.
Oh, like, yeah, there we go.
I'm like, man, don't do it, man. Yeah.
to protect the ball.
We ain't getting all the way to the 1 yard line to give it back.
Like, those are the worst. Those are indeed the worst. All right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including a contract getting signed that could also have implication on the Astros now. We'll talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Popping.
All right, let's get what's popping here on a Thursday. NFL season opener Thursday right here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. And on Sports Radio 610, you will hear that season opener. Chiefs, Ravens, tonight. And so super excited for that to happen. We'll talk more about that one as the program goes along. But I actually want to start in baseball,
okay,
if you don't mind. We saw this morning, we got a little bit of insight, which is funny because it feels like we've been doing that a whole bunch over the last week or so, where we'll come into work and there's some news when it comes to somebody getting a contract that could possibly be of interest to a Houston sports team. And it's been a lot of football stuff that could be to the Texans. And now baseball possibly for the Astros, as the San Francisco Giants have inked Matt Chapman to a 6-year, $151 million contract extension. So they got rid of the last 2 years of his deal so that this now is the, you know, it's now at this number, this, what, about 25 thereabouts, 25 plus some change, million a year average annual value.
But who's counting?
What'd you say?
But who's counting?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean.
We are.
I am.
Bregman counting.
His agent's counting. That's the important one. Alex Bregman, because Matt Chapman as a third baseman now is in that place where, let me see. Oh, no, internet, don't do this to me. I had the page up and everything.
That's okay.
That's tough.
It's okay. It's all up here, baby. I mean, it's all up here.
For you.
No, that's not one, for me.
Yeah, okay. I was about to say, not for me. Buddy. I'd be dependent on this internet, my boy. But no, he's up there when it comes to third baseman. And that means a lot when you look at Alex Bregman. Chapman, 31. Bregman, 30. They're, when it comes to the way that these dudes play, it's fairly similar when it comes to production. And so it's fair to assume that this could be a number that would inform what would be necessary if this team was to bring back Bregman next season.
Well, you hit on all the important points. He's a year older than Bregman. He's having he's got about the same numbers, slightly better if you look at all the numbers this year, but still same ballpark as Bregman. Third baseman, you know, plays the position that is valued when you have numbers like that. And he just got 6 years, $151 million. Here's where you know it gets real, so to speak.
I think it's batting war is the number that's been about the same over their career.
Yeah. And this is where it gets really interesting for the Astros. This tells you, I mean, the Astros aren't going to give Bregman this contract. I mean, if you're basing it on their recent history, they don't do contracts more than about 5 or 6 years. And this is six, so maybe that would line up. But $151 million for Bregman at 30 years old just isn't going to happen. So Bregman is liking this contract, but I just don't think it's going to be here.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the Astros, they're already this season third highest payroll if you're looking forward.
Yeah.
Eighth highest for 25, seventh highest for 26. And that's before any level of considerations of what a Bregman salary, if it's looking somewhere like this $25 million average annual value, would add to that. And so, yeah, you do wonder if there would be any level of willingness to be able to dole that out. And if not, now you're having to start to answer. And, of course, I don't know exactly what the organizational perspective is, right? What's the outlook, right? Mm-hmm. Are they comfortable with the idea of a window beginning to close and finding whatever the retool or rebuild or whatever that word ultimately is for this team? Or are they going to try and pry it open? Because then figuring out what that third base looks like is something that is actively on your to-do list.
I call them lifetime achievement contracts.
That's how baseball used to work, baby.
Yeah. Bagwell got one when he couldn't even throw.
Yeah.
He got a lifetime achievement contract. And
stupid
and,
analytics. Now everybody's like, what have you done for me lately?
And you can't really blame some teams when they are revered, you know, players that have been just part of your, you know, your makeup and part of the community and part of everything. But the Astros have given Jose Altuve a lifetime achievement contract.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to do two? No. I don't think so. They might hold Bregman in very similar regard because he's been here from the start, but I can't see them doing that. You know, Bregman and Altuve with these big money longer term deals.
Another thing that's popping, and if you could cue up, I might be hitting you a little too late for this. The Astros play-by-play cut three here, Fig, as Spencer Arrighetti, terrible outing, only goes 2/3 of an inning before he is pulled.
allows nine earned runs. Seven of those while he was actually on the diamond. Two more were charged to him. Now, it wasn't a good look for him at all. Just could not get control of particularly his four-seam fastball, just laying meatballs over the plate. But what was tough also is that he had an opportunity to get out of this inning, except this happened.
France on third, Fraley on second, Espinal on first, and an 0-2 count to Ahmed Rosario. Hit sharply, but past Jeremy Pena into center field. Two runs are going to score. Chaz McCormick comes in and will underhand it back to Pena. That was sharply hit, but a ball that Jeremy would like to have another shot at.
And that's not the only one over the course of the season. We've mentioned the Jeremy Pena, like a negative outfields above, or outs above average, rather. Defensively, it just has not been good for him. And I went and I was looking at Baseball Savant, a site that I like kind of looking at quite a bit. When it comes to the overall percentile rankings, I'm throwing some stats at you. Stick with me, right? We're boiling his entire batting, like everything at the plate, down to where he ranks in the league, right? And if you understand percentiles, if you're in the 99th percentile, you're one of the quite literally the best. And if you're in the first percentile, you're literally one of the worst. He's in the 26th percentile when it comes to batting value. He is in the 27th percentile when it comes to fielding value. Both of those are not good.
Not good.
And so the question then becomes, and I think you asked this question.
Maybe this is just him. You know, he's had his, obviously, as a rookie, ALCS and World Series MVP, and oh man, the prospects are off the chart. And then he kind of slid back, you know, a little bit or a lot of bit in 2023, came on late. But maybe this is just what he is, and that's not a very promising thing if your defense doesn't make up for it.
Yeah.
Remember last year, Figgy, I was comparing him before he got hot to Adam Everett? Because he was a terrific defensive player. Like, absolutely a vacuum out there. But his offense was down. Then he came back and picked up his offense. And you're like, all right, so maybe he's reverting to his earlier form. Well, he didn't. And so maybe, you know, this is just what his offense is going to be, which you can take. You can live with this if he is Adam Everett on defense, if he is just a vacuum and a plus player defensively. But you touched on the numbers earlier, like progressively worse defensively right now. That's not how you want to do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that scares me more than anything. This dude's 26 years of age.
Yeah. Like,
this is supposed to still be a time where you can range and all those things. And he can, right? Again, the base running, I'm not going to give you the actual number, but it's very good, right? So he can still, like, the athleticism is there, which you imagine would translate defensively at shortstop. Is it focus? Is it what is it? And that's got to be figured out, because this is a guy that you anticipated would be somebody that you could depend on. Right now, it's not looking like that. So that's real unfortunate. And it cost Spencer Arrigetti, and it really cost the Astros big time in yesterday, and honestly in the game that's probably about to come up here in about 20 minutes. It'll be interesting to see how deep Hunter Brown can go, because if he can't, your pen is going to be wheezing in some way.
The pitching has been the story for this team, but boy, part of that is you got to have good defense behind him. And really, Pena is just sort of the symptom of a defense for the Astros that's just not good overall. I mean, they rank in the bottom third in defensive runs saved, which means you're saving runs means you're playing good defense. Ain't gonna work if you can't do that.
Margins just get thinner.
Yeah.
You know, for pitching and for offense. So, I guess the hopefully that I'll ultimately tag on the back of this is hopefully there's some level of upward progression towards that as you end the season.
Yeah.
So that you're playing better baseball and your best baseball at the right time. But yeah, that was a little disheartening or disenchanting. I don't know what the right word is. You know what I'm trying to say.
Disheartening.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you. To see. something that, I don't know, was this disheartening? Darius Slayton in some ways. I felt bad for him. So let's take this from the top. Tomorrow night, the second game of the season will be played in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Yeah.
Between the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. Both two teams that have green in their jerseys.
Not
their
best decision.
Not particularly, as they're, you know, playing in Brazil. There is, you know, kind of, I think the stadium that they're playing in is Corinthians, I believe.
I don't remember. Yeah.
And so there's that, but you know, some of these fans could be a little rabid, and apparently the opposing team or the rival team of the stadium that they're playing at, their colors are green, and so there's issues there. I believe Brazil, just in general, also supposedly has a high crime rate, and with that, And so Darius
Slay. One of
the
highest in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Darius Slay got on his podcast kind of talking about his, I don't know, trepidation is the right word when it comes to going down to Brazil.
Let's get into this Brazil trip. Week one, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. But man, I do not want to go to Brazil. You want to know why? I'm here to tell you why.
I'm gonna tell
they
you
already why. Told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't do too much going on because the crime rate is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, NFL, why y'all want to send us somewhere with the crime rate this high? And like, we got the country. So, you know, the first thing people think is like, something terrible can possibly happen. I told my family, do not come down there because, like, I'm not going to be nowhere to be found. Really, I'm going to be in a hotel, chilling, minding my business, playing my game after a long 9.5 hour flight. So, I don't have no intentions on doing that. I'm going to eat hotel food. I'm doing everything.
Do it, though. I mean, you know, they always say, hey, it's a business trip. It's a business trip. Hey, everybody likes to see the sights in Brazil, but this is a mistake. I get wanting to expand the brand and all that stuff. They didn't think this all the way through is the problem.
Oh, they did. all the way through that they were thinking about was money.
Yeah.
That green. Speaking
money,
of green. Speaking
money
of green.
Be green.
Yeah.
Right? Money be green. Yeah. And so Darius Slay, I guess somebody was like, hey, man, not a good look. He got out on Twitter yesterday and tweeted the following. I want to apologize to anyone I offended. That wasn't my intention. I'm looking forward to playing in your beautiful country, and I've heard y'all are very passionate, just like our amazing Eagles fan. Just a few more days. Can't wait.
Okay.
4 exclamation points.
You believe in him?
He's going to stay in that hotel. That's what he's going to do.
He's absolutely going to stay in that hotel. You want to know why? The NFL briefed them, right? Like,
oh, I'm looking at did. Some of the things right
the
now.
The reason why he's afraid, like, this is honestly somewhat the NFL's fault. And look, I understand they're trying to get ahead, making sure everybody knows, hey.
Yeah.
We can really keep you protected in certain places, right? In the stadium, you're going to be good. You got that locked down. The hotel, you're going to be good.
Yeah.
We start venturing out. Can't really tell.
You're on your own.
We don't know what happens out there, but we want you to know.
Yeah. When you send
they
that
be getting folks on them streets.
When you send that email, it make it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, no. Now, I know, look, Brazil is an absolute, I've never been there, but it's an absolutely gorgeous country. You know, I've been in that part of the world. I feel bad for them. You know, I understand, you know, the numbers don't lie. It is a high crime rate area where they're going to be playing this game. And in particular, Sao Paulo, I get all that, you know, the murder rates and all that. Look, they're going to have all kinds of security. They could probably go out and have a great time and all that. I just think like it was a mistake. You had to think it through a little bit more. The teams you were sending, the messaging that you were getting, the updated, you know, climate in Brazil. You kind of got to take a step back and say, hey, you know what? Let's do it another time. Yeah, let's do it another time because it's just not a good time.
Yeah, but you know? You understand also the logistics of these things don't shift quickly. They tell you, they move like a tanker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so ultimately they decided this is where they were going to make their money. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it'll go over swimmingly, but they put the fear of God in these boys.
They're like, hey,
if we're going to make sure that everything goes well by y'all staying in them hotels, and you know what? They might have just honestly just tried to scare these boys into making sure that they don't do no funny stuff.
Yeah.
Because you are playing an away game. And one thing I will say, as much as people are talking about, hey, Philly is less safe than Sao Paulo and all those, right? One thing about it, at least you're playing a home game. You understand the legal system. You know those things. Let you find out, be in a Brazilian jail and see how that goes for you.
Yeah, they don't need none of these players trying to go to a strip club and see some Brazilian women end up stuck over there doing 25 to life over something silly.
I've seen those reality shows. What is it? The foreign prison shows or whatever?
Woo,
those are nasty.
Yeah. So.
I think A.J. Brown was the one that was saying that, you know, the NFL came in and gave them a bunch of do's and don'ts. He said there were a lot more don'ts.
Yeah. He said, don't wear green.
There were a lot more don'ts.
Yeah, don't wear green. Don't be in those places. So, yeah. Yeah, best of luck. Best of luck to all them.
Godspeed.
Godspeed. Stay in the hotel. Play the football. Bring yourself back. 9.5 hour flight down there, huh?
I'm telling you, man.
God bless.
It's a long way.
That sounds like that's going to be fun. There you go. I guess that's what's popping here in Loot Sports Radio 610. We're looking forward to week one. Sunday noon, you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610, as your Texans start off their season in Indy versus the Colts. What are the matchups you're most interested in? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about the matchups in the Texans Indy game. We'll do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.